back to this big robe. I don't know. All right. As we prepare for this time of reading, let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift of living water. Flow here between us. Flow with your power. Flow with your truth. Flow with your spirit. Flow with your grace. Flow with your peace. Flow here in the love that makes all of this worthwhile. Thank you for the gift of this moment. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Join with me now, friends, in the book of Psalms, number 29. Here we are. Receive the word of God, friends. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The word of the Lord for us, my friends. Yes, friends, let us come to the Lord. Let us come to the Lord now with our second reading. I'm in Mark's Gospel here for a little bit, and we're going to start off with chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." I know you wanted more there, right? Just keep reading. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Babe, but if you have, I think you will agree with me that it is a delightful, fun, and endearing picture of a pig and its farmer realizing their love and appreciation for each other. It's a sweet movie. In order to avoid being made into food, the young babe, the pig, dedicates his life to being useful, like the dogs in herding sheep. Then he'll be safe from becoming lunch. After the misadventures that follow that decision, the pig ends up competing at the sheep herding trials against other serious sheep dogs, and spoiler alert, he wins. It is worth the watch. Even with the spoiler, you know he was going to win. The line, though, that has stayed with me ever since is the reply from the farmer to Babe after this amazing herding run. The farmer looks at Babe and he says, "That'll do, pig. That'll do." Just going back to that movie clip again brought tears to my eyes. It's sweet and heavenly with the sun breaking behind the farmer's head, making him seem like some small picture of God. It is a sweet, accepting affirmation that we all want from people who are important to us in our own story. And that is kind of how I have always pictured this scene from Mark's Gospel with Jesus being baptized. Jesus rises from the serene water, disturbed only by his slight movement. The focus of the story is on him. No other voices are competing for attention. There's a hush across the crowd. God regards Jesus with heartfelt, fatherly devotion. These are the most sympathetic and kind things God utters across the entire Bible. This is all about love. All is right in the world. All is peaceful in the world. All is as it should be in the world for at least this moment. And of course, that's all completely wrong. Oh my goodness. You know what? When God speaks, things happen. Big, dramatic, even scary things happen. When God speaks, lives change. The world changes. Everything changes. It doesn't matter if God is just saying good morning Nothing escapes God's spiritual lips without creation reeling from the shock. In creation, as we saw last week, God brought things into being and order simply by speaking them into existence. As Psalm 29 emphasizes, God's speech causes all kinds of great and calamitous things. It's majestic and terrifying all in the same breath. Please, someone show me where God speaks and nothing dramatic happens. Lives, peoples, histories are all radically altered when God utters. The voice of God is earth-shattering and holy. So, we're going to do justice to God's words. The people across Judea are all in upheaval. Mark says everyone from the city and the country are running to the water to find this crazy-looking prophet shocking people with news they desperately want to hear. God is ready to do something big. John the Baptizer looks like Elijah, the greatest of the Jewish prophets and the herald of the Messiah. John's message was driving a change so shocking that the leaders executed the same Messiah a few years later. For Mark, the story of God's good news begins right here. When Jesus arrives to be washed into this same amazing change like everyone else, literally, the heavens are ripped open. I have no idea how that could have been anything else but completely terrifying. And that's when God speaks. The same God whose words created and shaped the world, the voice of God booms with words that again change history for all time. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. That is a tremendous affirmation for Jesus. He's not just Messiah, the anointed one, but God's chosen son. Jesus is announced to the world in a way that no one has ever been. But the words are also, they also sign his death warrant. In Jesus' trial, the night before his death, this is one of the things that the religious leaders threw into his face. He was known to be the Son of God, which sounds like sacrilege for anyone else. If Jesus is so loved by God, what does this say about the nature of God's love? If this is what God's love looks like and Jesus ends up on a cross in such a brutal time, what does that mean about God's love for the rest of us? Or do any of us think that God's love leaves anyone in comfort and luxury? Finally, God is also pleased with Jesus. Jesus has been good and faithful to the call. The Son of God has come to the water in humility and meekness. He has submitted to a baptism for repentance, and this has pleased God. Jesus has lived in righteousness and honored God to this point. But before the stamp of approval has even dried, Jesus is literally thrown into the wilderness to be tempted in starvation for 40 days. And if I had read the next verse, that's what it would have said. Jesus' approval in the Jordan River by the word of God means that the Holy Spirit throws him into the wilderness to be terribly tested, pressed beyond human understanding. If anyone thought following Jesus into the deep end was going to be easy, go ahead and make your way out. I may get in trouble for this, but the call, following the voice of God, is one of the hardest things that we can do. I need everyone to have both eyes opened right now. The love of God is eternal, but it is not easy. When we are baptized, we are accepting this call, just like Jesus. When we reclaim our baptism, we are remembering that we're still in this fight. When we recall our baptism, we are doubling down on the life-changing power of God's voice for us all. No one gets through this as the same person you were when you started. And that is the point. No one can hear God's words and remain the same. My middle daughter sometimes enjoys getting a rise out of people. I don't know why my wife is laughing, but she knows this is true. One family dinner, she was threatening my wife's father, her grandfather, with getting a tattoo. As you might expect, this made him nervous. And he was somewhat a more anxious man by nature than most. She was having a good bit of fun with him and informed him, in fact, that she was going to get, "I am Ernest Robertson's granddaughter," tattooed across her forehead. There might have been a second there where he thought she was being serious. But thankfully, he saw the fun that she was having with him and found the humor. That does not mean, though, that later he didn't worry about that, that she might do it. I don't know. But imagine how much it would change your life for something like that to be written across your forehead for all to see. I am a follower of Jesus Christ and a child of God. Baptism is God's call to take up that idea. The goal of every believer should be that our lives would not be any different to have that written across our faces. God's call, God's voice should have already brought that out in all of us to the open, the outward way of living. It should make no difference to anyone. We could all see how it's spelled out on our faces. They should already know. No surprises. Yes, friends, God's love is not easy, but it is beautiful, it is faithful, it is compassionate, it is true, it is more than enough to get us through the trials of this life and to lead us into our growth as God's children. Nothing worth doing is easy. There is a challenge to even getting up in the morning, especially getting up with gratitude and grace. How much more does that go for listening to God? It takes our commitment and recommitment to follow the voice of God wherever it may take us. In a moment, you will have the opportunity to find the voice of God stirring in your own life again. You will have the invitation to find yourself in the waters of life, reconnecting to God's love in this physical, tangible way. The Son of God has given us this water and hearts for service. The Holy Spirit is ready to send us out renewed, but do not enter the water lightly. You cannot hear God's voice, God's stirring, and dismiss it without risk. The course of history changes when God speaks. Our own lives change too once we step into deeper waters. So much of this world cries out for the best that we can offer. And with God's words ringing in our hearts, we have an answer. To God be the glory. Amen.